Welcome to a Bow Valley Christian Church podcast. We're about helping people find and follow Jesus. In this episode, you are listening to Peter Roberts share his message titled, When Love Gets a Hold of You, from the series titled, These Three Remain. This message was broadcasted live August 6, 2023.
I'm going to continue this morning in our summer series. It's titled, When Love Walks Among Us. And so in this year-long effort as a church that we've had to look at these three things, faith, hope, and love, we've moved into love now this summer. And I love where Steve has us focused this summer as we begin to look at love and learn about love in the Bible and what godly love is. We're looking at Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ and his life and all these interactions that he had with people. And so in order to begin learning and looking at love, we're looking at Jesus. And we're going to do that this morning. We're reading, as Pete mentioned, we're going to look at Zacchaeus this morning. And what I find to be actually a remarkable interaction Jesus had with someone. And so let's go ahead. I'm going to begin by just reading through this. I'm going to get you guys to maybe just, if we could all stand for the reading of God's word. And I'll read through the story, and then we'll maybe go into it in a little bit more detail here. So Luke 19, verses 1 to 10, says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. And then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You can be seated. And it was a sense in which as we read that story this morning, and as I was reading it this week, I felt like, man, as it began, I felt there's a sense in which this is a simple story. And it's a story I've known since I was a little kid. But I've been guilty in my adult life of not taking seriously enough the things that I already know really well. Anyone guilty of that where you think, okay, I've already learned something from this, so I move on and I don't go back to this. But in my experiences, I've gone back to them and I've spent more time digging more deeply. Some of those things, some of those simple things that I thought I already learned things from, have had the most profound impact on my faith. And so I hope that can happen for some of you today in this story that's likely familiar for a lot of you. On the other hand, I know that some of you guys are new to church and you're new to learning about God. Maybe you're new to reading the Bible, and this is a brand new story for you. And so if that's the case, let's dig a little bit deeper into this story and let's see if we can maybe find ourselves in this story. Let's see if we can find something that we can take out of this in order to live lives of love today. We'll start in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. And so we're introduced to this story with Jesus. This is later on in his ministry. We know from the rest of the book of Luke, he's on his way toward Jerusalem. And Jericho is a very important city in the area. It's about 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem towards the Jordan River. It's probably about a 45-minute drive today. I think it took Jesus and his disciples a little longer, but they're just passing through Jericho on their way to Jerusalem. And this is the late stages of his ministry. And word had clearly gotten around at this point about Jesus, because he's just passing through Jericho, yet there is a large crowd gathered. Verse 2 says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And so this very interesting aspect of who Zacchaeus is shared with us, that he's short. It's not a very common thing that's shared in Scripture about people. And it's a little unfortunate for Zacchaeus that he's now historically, for the rest of history, known as the wee little man. And hopefully, as we look at this a little closer, you know, I don't think that gives enough justice to this story to focus in on how small he is. I think it's important Luke shared that with us because there you know, it gives you an idea of the size of the crowd. There's a lot of people that have gathered. He's too short to see over the crowd. But we're learning a few other things about Zacchaeus that are really important, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. But one is that he was a tax collector. And so we know that in the first century, tax collectors, they worked for the Roman occupation. And so Israel's under Roman occupation, and we also know Zacchaeus was a Hebrew. He was one of the Jewish people. Yet he's actually collecting taxes for the Romans from all of the Israelites. And so these were not popular people. In fact, they were usually despised, looked down upon. People didn't really like them because often they gained their income by extorting more money than what they were contracted to gather for the Roman Empire. And so that's how they would gain their wealth. And we actually learned from Luke sharing here that Zacchaeus was really good at doing this. And so he was really good at being one of these despised people and taking advantage of people because he was wealthy. Okay, and so he's not just a tax collector, he's a chief tax collector, and he's really wealthy. So he's been really good at stomping on other people and cheating other people in order to get ahead in life. We're getting a little bit of a glimpse here at the character of Zacchaeus and who he has been in his life. But you'll notice here that Luke also tells us that he wanted to see who Jesus was. It's a very simple little thing, but I think it's very significant that this man wanted to see who Jesus was. Where does this lead him? In verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I have a picture here to show you of a fig tree. This fig tree is actually in Jericho today. You can actually go and see this fig tree in Jericho. It gives you an idea just what this tree would have looked like. There's two things here in this verse that we learn about this desire that, not Zechariah, but Zacchaeus had to see Jesus. It says he ran ahead and then he climbed up a sycamore tree. Again, we could pass over those simple little facts, but just note that in the first century, it's a very significant thing, an unusual thing for a grown man to be running. All right, this wasn't a common thing that they would be doing. And so his curiosity and his eagerness to see Jesus had him run ahead. He knew the way that Jesus was going. He runs ahead and then he climbs up in a tree. And so we know with this picture of a tree up here, you can maybe get a picture of a grown man who's climbed up and is up in this tree, eager to see Jesus. I just want to encourage you here before I move on, just to maybe start to see this story through Zacchaeus' eyes. It's easy to be kind of here today and just looking at the story, but maybe see the story through Zacchaeus' eyes. And the life that Zacchaeus has lived, building his wealth upon, you know, by cheating others and by taking advantage of other people. Being somebody who has been despised by a lot of people, by his own people. He's probably been cast away from a lot of those people. He's probably not in community with them very often. In fact, I kind of imagine he's someone who likely didn't have a whole lot of real friends, at least. He was despised. He might have even been a little bit bitter. He had been hard-hearted to be able to make his living the way that he did. You know, I actually imagine he felt very fairly empty inside. That there wasn't a very much fulfillment in the life that he'd been living. And in hearing the stories of Jesus, this crowd had gathered because they've heard the stories of Jesus and they want to see him when he comes in. But in hearing these stories of Jesus, he was hoping that Jesus was really the Messiah, that there was maybe something to Jesus that could lead him to more than the life he'd been living. Let's continue in verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this. They began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." So we get a glimpse here in this story. We get to get a glimpse through Jesus' eyes and also the crowd's eyes of how they experienced this. And so what does Jesus see? As he's coming into Jericho, there's a large crowd. I imagine it being very noisy as people gather and they're calling out to Jesus. People want to see Jesus. They want him to stop to talk to them. Jesus is walking along and he sees a man up in a tree. Again, we've already kind of established this would be probably a strange sight for him to see. He sees a man up in a tree and it's clear he recognized who this was. He knew this was the chief tax collector of the area, that this was Zacchaeus. And so I can tell you what I think he should have seen. When Jesus was walking through the crowd, all these people that had gathered wanted to see him, and he sees this man, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, up in a tree. He should have seen somebody who was a sinner and somebody who likely should be rebuked. And that's the story through the eyes of those who were in the crowd, right? All the people began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. They looked at Zacchaeus, and when Jesus stopped and looked at him, were likely thinking, good, this man of God is going to rebuke Zacchaeus for being such a horrible person. And so this is the way I think Jesus likely should have reacted to Zacchaeus, and the crowd definitely felt that way. But instead, Jesus had a very different way. He looked at Zacchaeus a different way than the crowd. Just like we learned through so many stories of Jesus throughout his whole life, the kingdom he came to build, we call it like an upside down kingdom. Everything's different with Jesus than what we would anticipate and expect very often. You know, where we see darkness and sin, Jesus sees an opportunity for redemption. I actually imagine Jesus, as he looks up at Zacchaeus here in this story, kind of smirking a little bit because he caught a glimpse of the childlike curiosity, you know, of that Zacchaeus had. You know, the idea of a man running ahead and then climbing up a tree, it'd be something that kids would more likely be expected to do. And I actually also imagine kids were doing it. We read in the earlier chapter, in chapter 18, of the kids always coming to Jesus and Jesus saying, let them come to me. And in fact, in chapter 18 of Luke, verse 17, Jesus said, truly I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And so I imagine as Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus in the tree, this chief tax collector, this man who had lived, had been a horrible person, that he might have smirked a little bit, and he might have seen in him this childlike curiosity. In other words, this openness to receive. And so Jesus sees Zacchaeus in a very different light than everyone else, where they see a sinner that they despise, they want to have nothing to do with. Jesus sees a child of God whom he loves and who he wants to be with. Jesus sees through the sin and darkness in Zacchaeus, and he sees a path toward redemption. Let's continue in verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Again, this is something I could kind of just say a few things about, but I'll note the significance of what Zacchaeus says here. You know, you could just kind of look at this and think, well, of course Zacchaeus did this. This is what he deserved, or this is what he should do. He's wronged a lot of people and cheated a lot of people, and so he should pay them back. And so this is nothing more than just Zacchaeus doing what he should do. But note, when he says that he's going to pay people back four times what he cheated them, that, you know, for the Israelite people in the Old Testament law, there were actually guidelines set out for when somebody was guilty and had been found guilty of cheating somebody or taking advantage of other people. And those punishments or the retribution that, required, it went from very small to a lot. And when Zacchaeus says, I'll give back four times the amount, what Zacchaeus is doing is, apart from anyone else accusing him of guilt or proving him of guilt, he just tells everyone he's guilty, and he actually chooses the most significant punishment in the Old Testament law of paying back four times the amount. He pays the highest price that he is required to pay. And so everyone he's cheated, he's going to pay back four times that amount. And he also says he's going to give half of his possessions to the poor. And so I think today we might kind of look at that or hear that and think of people like, you know, the wealthy people we know of, right? Like an Elon Musk who's got tens of billions of dollars. And we think, okay, well, you give half of your possessions to the poor, you're still a multi-billionaire, right? This isn't the case in the first century. And so Zacchaeus, by giving back four times what he's cheated people out of, and by giving half his possessions to the poor, this is significant. What Zacchaeus is doing as he says this is he is saying that I am giving up the life I've lived. That life I lived is over. And in fact, I'm going to be a completely different person right now. He gave up the power that he had over people, the authority that he had over people. He gave up his status, and he gave up his wealth. His life would be significantly impacted by doing this. This is no small thing that he does. In surrender, in doing all of this, Zacchaeus is surrendering his life, and he is fully repentant of the life he's lived, and he has decided he's going to live different. In a lot of ways, Zacchaeus got it. He understood. He wasn't there, obviously, for all of the teachings of Jesus, but as Jesus had been teaching throughout his life, that if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He taught things like, if you want to be first, you must be last. And if you're last, or sorry, if those who want to be first will be last, and whoever is last will be first. Again, this upside down kingdom. Jesus taught things to love your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think Zacchaeus understood this. A light bulb went off inside of him. He understood Jesus' teachings. Jesus wanted to know who this Jesus was as he ran and climbed up into the tree. And then once he learned who he was, he no longer had need to trust in his wealth, his power, and his status. He no longer needed to try and find joy and purpose and a path in his life by this power, this wealth, and this status that he had. He gave that up in order to trust in Jesus. And so in response, in verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." So the climax of this story, salvation has come to this house. This is a very significant proclamation that Jesus makes. And it would have been very significant to everyone around, especially those who were upset and muttered about Jesus going to be the guest of a sinner. Not only did he be guest of the sinner, now he's proclaimed salvation's come to this house. And I want to note, salvation hasn't come to this house, Jesus says, because he's done these nice things, because he's now done what is needed by giving up his money to the poor. He says, because this man too is a son of Abraham. When he says, because this man is a son of Abraham, what Jesus is really saying there is because this man is now part of the faithful family. He is faithful. And so what he's saying is he's saved because of this faith. His faith has brought salvation to this house. It's really hard to ignore the connection between this interaction Jesus had with Zacchaeus. And then there's an interaction in Luke 18. So just a few verses before this, he had run into a rich young ruler. Do you guys remember this story? If you don't know this story, I won't get too far into it. The summary of that story is a rich young ruler, someone who had a lot of power and a lot of money, came to him and wanted to follow him, and actually kind of tells Jesus that, yeah, I know all the law, I know a lot of things, and I'm actually following all the law. And Jesus said, you're just missing one thing, and that is the fact that I want your heart, and your heart belongs to your wealth and your power and your money, and you've got to go give all that up, and then come follow me, and you can be my disciple. And in that story, the rich young ruler walks away sad because he wasn't able to give up his wealth, his power. And so, and just after that, in verse 25 of chapter 18, Jesus said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus is saying it's nearly impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's very, very, very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Just after that, Jesus, thankfully, he said, "But with God, all things are possible." And then here in the story of Zacchaeus, not long, like a very short time later, here we have. Well, how did Luke introduce Zacchaeus to us? He's wealthy, he's rich. And Jesus proclaims salvation's come to this house. The impossible becomes possible because Jesus saw through the darkness in Zacchaeus, went to be with him, shared himself with him, and Zacchaeus responded and gave his life to him. And there's also parallels here to a parable that Jesus told in chapter 18 about a Pharisee and a tax collector who had gone. He tells this parable of these two people. So we have a Pharisee and a tax collector, just like Zacchaeus, who went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, when he went to the temple and prayed, he essentially told God about he thanked God for all of the good things that he had done, how good he was, and how he did all the right things in his life. And his focus and his heart and his attention was all on the good things he had done and what a good person he was. And it says that the tax collector, when he went to the temple and he prayed, beat his chest, couldn't even look up to God, and just said, "Have mercy on me, God. I am a sinner." That was the only prayer he prayed. And Jesus says, that man went home, made right, righteous before God. And Jesus says in response to that parable, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And then this parable he has told in chapter 18 comes to life in the story of Zacchaeus just a few verses later. Let's go to verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This verse takes us right into the heart of gospel, what I believe is the crux of the ministry and the mission of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to," I think for those of you who are wanting to know who Jesus was, I think you should maybe sit up a bit. So maybe just kind of like sit up in your chair a little bit if you're getting a little sleepy. For those who want to follow Jesus Christ, which is many of us here today, I think we need to sit up a little bit and pay attention. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus directly and clearly lays out his mission and his purpose. It's to seek and save the lost. And this is what Jesus clearly has done here in this story. In fact, by the nature of who Zacchaeus was, it would have made most sense for Jesus to not even waste his time stopping, let alone deciding to spend the evening with him. Jesus saw within Zacchaeus, even within his sin, the exact reason that he'd come. One of the saddest things I've witnessed and experienced over the past 16 or 17 years of ministry has been how often people outside the church, and sadly, even within the church, have failed to understand the true nature of the good news of Jesus. What I mean by that is I've met far too many people, both outside and inside the church, who feel they're way too far gone to be accepted by God or the church. They're way too far gone to be loved by God. Have any of you known someone who has maybe said this or felt this way? I wonder if any of you this morning are struggling with those feelings yourself. I've had more than one person before, as I speak to them about being a Christian and being a pastor, they tell me they could never, ever come into a church building because they would literally burn up. Which in some ways is just a joke, but it has broken my heart every time I've heard this, because of how far away that is from the truth. My heart is broken every time I've watched someone resist God or walk away from God because they simply believe they aren't good enough. Many people in our world will never give God or the church a chance because they believe God's love is reserved only for those who live perfect, holy lives. And this could not be farther from the truth. Amen. Amen. I've been in ministry a long time. So trust me, people who are in churches are not perfect. I've only been here for about 10 months, and I already know how imperfect many of you are. Right? Can I get another amen? No, I'm just kidding. Maybe more likely, I've only been here 10 months, and many of you have learned how imperfect I am. I know that my kids know that very well. I think one of them just said amen. You know, the truth is that God's heart burns for those who are far from him. His love sees through their failure and their darkness, and he desperately longs to be with them. God's love leads him, and therefore it should fuel us and lead us towards those who are desperate and in darkness. Love seeks and saves the lost. If we want to live lives that exemplify the love of God, then we must be seeking and saving the lost. Jesus, who was God, who was there at the beginning of all creation when everything was made, he didn't hang and die on a cross for those who are good enough. He didn't die on a cross for those who are righteous enough. Jesus, who was God, was nailed to a cross for the thief who was hanging on a cross right next to him. Jesus hung and he died on a cross for the prostitute who just burst into one of his dinners rudely and went to his feet and cried tears of repentance and washed his feet with her tears and her hair. Jesus died on the cross for this horrible man named Zacchaeus, this tax collector who had cheated people his whole life. Jesus was hanging on the cross for him. And Jesus hung on the cross for a young man named Peter Roberts, who in his early 20s had spent years after growing up in the church, turning his back on God, spitting in the face of God, and living his life as his own God. Jesus hung on the cross for me, and he hung on the cross for many of you that are in this room as well. The love of Jesus saw through the darkness in my life. He saw through the darkness in the life of the thief on the cross, the prostitute at the dinner, and in the life of Zacchaeus, and in so many of us that are here today. These are the people, and everyone who is not here today as well. These are the people Jesus sought out and saved. This is the way of love. This is where the love of Jesus leads us. You know, another really sad thing for me, and one of the reasons I've kind of taken the position in this church that I've taken right now, has been through the years witnessing young people growing up in the church and missing the point of the gospel and just not getting it, just like I didn't get it when I was young. And so young people, you guys can decide whether you're young or not. Please don't fail to understand the nature of the gospel and what this is all about. Don't miss the point of God's love. If you're new to church, you're just trying to figure all of this out. Please don't fail to understand the nature of grace and the nature of God's love. If you're feeling unworthy of God's love, if you're feeling like you're not good enough, if you're feeling weighed down by guilt or that you don't belong in church, please don't miss this. In the very words of Jesus, Jesus came for you. He came to seek and to save those who are lost from a relationship with him. You know, we all know John 3:16, for God sent his son to save the world, right? It's a world-renowned verse, right? I really wish that at the beginning when we began to make that verse well-known, we would have attached verse 17 to that as well. And I wish the world knew John 3:17 just as much as they knew John 3:16. It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the mission and the ministry of Jesus Christ and the mission of the church. It's why we exist. This is where God's love leads us. And so, young people, those who are just trying to figure all this out, and everyone else who's sitting here this morning, know that you are not too far gone, no matter where you are. You are worthy. No matter how unworthy you feel, you are worthy and you are loved. Henry Nouwen is an author he's a great writer. And he wrote a book called The Inner Voice of Love. This book, in this book, it's more of journal, more of a compiling of his journal entries through many years of serving God. And in this book, Inner Voice of Love, it's a very intimate look into his own personal struggle with understanding God's love, accepting God's love, and being able to really grasp it and attach to it. And I'll go ahead and read from that book. In relation to this morning, Jesus came among us as an equal, a brother. He broke down the pyramidal structures of relationship between God and people, as well as those among people, and offered a new model, the circle, where God lives in full solidarity with the people and the people with one another. You will not be able to meet Jesus in your body while your body remains full of doubts and fears. Jesus came to free you from these bonds and to create in you a space where you can be with him. He wants you to live the life, wants you to live the freedom of the children of God. Do not despair, thinking that you cannot change yourself after so many years. Simply enter into the presence of Jesus as you are and ask him to give you a fearless heart where he can be with you. You cannot make yourself different. Jesus came to give you a new heart, a new spirit, new mind, and a new body. Let him transform you by his love and so enable you to receive his affection in your whole being. We've spoken of the mission of our church. And so for those of us who are members of Bow Valley Christian Church and who are for the mission of Bow Valley Christian Church, I just want to speak to that real briefly here as I conclude. God's love helps us to see through the darkness in people's lives in order that we might be able to bring light into that darkness. The way of Christ is not to stop at the sycamore tree in order to point our finger and rebuke the sinner. The way of Christ is to look in disgust. The way of Christ is not to look in disgust at the sinner in the tree. The way of Jesus and the way of love is to faithfully seek out those who are lost to a relationship with God in order that they might be restored to relationship with Him. The way of love allows us to see through the darkness that has filled the lives of others and gives us power to overcome that darkness with the light of God. The path of love is the path towards seeking and saving the lost. Let's make sure that those who are in this church who are struggling with this, and let's make sure that those who are outside of this church, outside of Bow Valley, but who are looking at Bow Valley, who are looking at us, who are followers of Jesus, and those who know that we are people who are we're followers of the way of Jesus, that they know God's love, not because we talk about God's love, but because we live it. And no matter who they are, no matter how far away they are from God, we display that to them, the love that Christ had for Zacchaeus. We see through the darkness in their life, and we love them anyway. And we bring God's light into their life. Let's not shy away. Let's not cower. Let's not run away from that darkness. But let's go toward it with God empowering us in order to bring His light.